A little whisper in your ear or a huge crash down to earth, a lesson in love is life's way of nudging you in a new direction. Welcome to the Lessons in Love podcast with me, Carly Ann. I'm a self-esteem and relationship coach, and I wholeheartedly believe I am here to help you break through the very relationship struggles that so many of us face. Through my own personal experiences and other people's inspiring lessons, I'm showing you that we can change and we can break free from toxic patterns in love. Inside this podcast, you are going to hear what has shaped successful love stories and healed heartbreak. I want you to know you are not alone, you are not crazy, you are not too much. This space is for the woman who is done with believing she needs someone else to be whole. The one who has had enough of not feeling enough, who is not willing to let her past steal any more of her future, who is waving goodbye to a fantasy relationship and hello to the healthy, extraordinary love she deserves. This is where you learn how to become the most secure and irreplaceable version of yourself. You're invited into a conversation between myself and my own coach and mentor, Becky Rabin. Becky is a business mentor and empowerment coach with an undeniable passion for wellness and with helping you unlock your fullest potential. Becky champions women to help them break through fear and self-doubt and unapologetically dial up their self-worth to build a business they are proud of, a life they love, and a mindset that will take them places. Becky launched Get Lit in 2018, the education and development hub for personal, business, and career development. She's on a mission to help go-getters overcome fear, self-doubt, and the loud voice that tells them that they can't, so that instead they know that they deeply can. Becky has worked with thousands of individuals through her mentoring, coaching, consulting, courses, and memberships. I'm so excited for you to hear this conversation where we dive into the impact of trauma on adult relationships, navigating those wild feelings of anxiety and insecurity. We talk about the fear of abandonment and how you can navigate through that within your relationships, how you can build your self-worth and begin to shine your light. Hi, Becky.
Hello.
I feel like this is a really special episode.
Yeah, I'm so excited in so many ways about this episode.
The lessons in love, because obviously you have known about lessons in love for a while.
Yeah, I have.
Perhaps
I
have. The creator? Could we call you the creator?
No, I'm not the creator. I helped you come up with the area with the like bespoke element, but no, I'm really, really excited and very honored to be here and very proud of you for doing it as well. So yeah, I'm excited. Thank you so much for having me.
So maybe we've just given a little clue as to what you do, but happy to, yeah, just introduce yourself and share with us your love story.
Cool. So I am Becky. I am an empowerment and business coach. So obviously, for those of you who are listening, I guess my one-to-one kind of work is that I work with wellness experts to help them build their business, one which was the amazing Carly. I've had the honor of working with her to help her kind of shape her business. But I also am founder of Get Lit Inc. So we are a personal development hub. We are like home to personal development, business development, career development, a community that is very much driven and passionate and on a mission to help women light all the way up, whether it's find the career that they love, build a business that they've always wanted to, right through to, I guess, building themselves up, like lighting their light all the way up. I've always been so deeply passionate about helping women shine and being unafraid to shine and to really master themselves, whether that is, again, like to call in a relationship that they want to call in or just manage their friendships in a better way or find their spirituality. So Get Lit is very much just like your dedicated hub to helping women rise, I guess, and shine their light. And it's definitely linked, I would say, to my love story very, very closely, because I mean, anyone who is listening here who is a follower of mine or in our community, I've definitely not made it a secret that I think the biggest catalyst for my growth, my personal growth and my desire to make change to my life was a hell of a heartbreak. In fact, years and years and years of heartbreak. And I actually kind of just really believe that like love has been my biggest teacher and my biggest journey and almost like my karma for this lifetime. You know, I've got books to write about what my love story looks like, and I feel like it relates to a lot of the women in our community too, and obviously I'm sure a lot of your audience. But it was definitely the biggest driving force for me to wanting to create something like Get Lit Inc. and kind of move into the space of helping women love themselves from within and build a relationship with themselves, because I spent years seeking validation from men, from friends, going into these toxic relationships, having absolutely no self-worth and just hating myself. So for me, it was this business has been born out of like nothing but a pure passion to help women just know that they're so capable of so much more and they're deserving of more, and that when they truly find the light switch from within, their whole life can completely change. So yeah, it's very, very linked to my love story. I'll try and keep it as short as possible. But I think for me, things like obviously being a coach, being in the industry, I'm very aware of my birth and like what happened to me when I was born as to how linked it is to my love story. And I think for a long time, I probably didn't, and I shied away from it and I hid from it. But I was actually born into a world of grief. My dad died 2 weeks before I was born. So I was actually like 10 days late as well. So we kind of just missed each other. And I was born into obviously what I call a bit of a shit show. Like my mum had just lost her husband and had just gained a child and like did not know at all how to handle that. And my sister was 7. So I was left a lot. I was not abandoned. Like my gosh, if my mum ever heard that, like she loved me. I was their light. I was their shining. I was their savior. They say to me all the time, you quite literally saved us. Like I don't know what we would have done without you. But at the same time, they were battling grief and they were, you know, my mum had to go back to work. She was a single parent. So naturally, there were elements of my upbringing where I was with nannies a lot. I was being looked after a lot. Also, there was like this anxious attachment, I think, between me and my mum. And like, I was her savior. So she was so attached to me and I was so attached to her that I think right there and then was when all these kind of bonds, these things formed for me that like, you need to be attached to people in that way. Otherwise, someone's going to die, or having that great loss. And I grew up my whole life thinking I was really unaffected because I didn't know my dad. And I was like, I didn't grieve, I didn't lose him. So I think the whole time I carried this burden of like, who am I to grieve, or who am I to be sad or feel hard done by, because I didn't actually lose anyone. But I think as I started to get older and kind of start to date people, I really realized that I was incredibly insecure in relationships. And I had this deep-rooted fear that they were all going to leave. And I didn't actually see a stable relationship. And I know that there are plenty of people in this world whose parents are together and they don't see a stable relationship. But to me, I never really saw what love meant. I had to create my own definition for love from a very, very young age. I had this, and the definition I had was my mum and my sister being obsessed with me. So that's what I defined love to be. So for me, I don't think I got into my first serious relationship till I was 16. And it was in that relationship where I was very insecure. We had like crazy rows and he went off to the army and like broke my heart because he left me, which was like everything I'd feared and more. And after that, I think I went into back-to-back relationships I was 16, probably through to 23, 24. It's a good like 7 years of back-to-back relationships. I then fell in love with my best friend at college. And, you know, I always went for like the nice guy because I felt like he wasn't going to hurt me. And like everyone would say, like, you're punching, like, why are you with him? But he was nice to me. And then he just turned. He was a liar. He was very immature. He cheated on me. And I knew it. Like, I kind of knew it. And I would say I almost drove him to it because I pushed it so much, being like, you've done this, you've done that, you've done this. I mean, he actually had a girlfriend for like a whole year, as well as having a girlfriend like me while I was at university. So I was with him for like 3.5 years, incredibly toxic relationship. He would lie to me all the time. I was always trying to find out what he'd done wrong. And, you know, at the time, I just felt like I was dating assholes and that I was not taking any responsibility for my behavior at all. And I just felt like I was really hard done by, really unlucky in love, like always dating people who just weren't particularly loyal or faithful. And then I went to university and I saw the love of my life. And the reason why I say that is because I think it was a moment for me that I'd never had before and also have never had since, where I just saw this guy and I was like, he's mine. I'm going to be with him. I knew it. There was like this heart feeling that I was like, he's mine. But it was driven with such intensity. We messed around for a couple of years and then we finally dated. When I started seeing someone else, he finally decided to tell me that he loved me and we started going out. And it was a recipe for disaster because all of my trauma and fear and pain from the previous relationships just came straight into that relationship with me. I mean, they were all carbon copies of the same guy. And it was right from the get-go. There was an ex involved. There was always another woman. There was an ex who still loved him. He didn't love her, but he used to love her. I didn't particularly love other women either, which is just crazy to me right now because I just champion women, but I was so riddled with jealousy and comparison. Felt like everyone was trying to steal my boyfriend. He was a club promoter, so he was in that world where he's around a lot of women. And we fell deeply, crazy, intensely, madly in love with each other. And I was his first ever girlfriend. So with all of my boyfriends, I was the one that changed them. And subconsciously, I had this thing, I think, where I like made the player not a player anymore. Obviously, this is like self-reflection now that I'm aware of. Like, I was completely unaware of I was completely unaware of any of this stuff. I only knew pain in love. For me, love was pain. we had a like great relationship for many years. The inevitable happened. He cheated on me within like 4 months, and the girl was absolutely stunning. And it was like game over for me. Like my insecurity, my self-worth was just at rock bottom. And I found out about it pretty quickly, and I stayed with him because I was in this space where he was the only person that was going to make me okay. I was so attached to him that he was the only person that was ever going to make me feel okay. So I stayed with him. I was so weak. Pretty much after that, our relationship never remained. But that love, that intense, crazy love was always there. It was just fueled by a lot of hate and a lot of rows. We used to have these like crazy rows. There was a lot of anger involved in a lot of my relationships. And eventually I moved to London and he was meant to move with me. And he came up and broke up with me. And that was for me, like the breaking point for me. He broke up with me. He did the most mature thing he could ever have done. Something I was not brave enough to do, but needed to happen. And he broke up with me just saying, I love you so much. Gave me a letter. It's like, I love you so much, but we aren't right and we need space. And that was it. My world collapsed. I spent 2 years, I think, in the depths of depression, couldn't see the way out. And I think it was 10 years of heartbreak, trauma and pain that was making it so hysterical for me. But quite literally, like one of my biggest things I've learned in love, and you know, I've had like 7 years now since him single, and I've dated guys. I had a boyfriend for like 6 months. I don't count him because he was exactly the same guy. And I realized straight away and managed to get out. But at the same time, like I was so codependent of other people and that I did not know who I was, that for me, it was so important to spend that time single. And I've done so much work around what love really means and what a true relationship looks like and what I want from a relationship. I was pleasing them. My life revolved around them. I wouldn't make plans with my friend until I knew what my boyfriends were doing. I would take it really to heart if they wanted to hang out with the boys and not with me, and like breakups. And you know what, still to this day, even just if a date doesn't work out or something doesn't, or I'm seeing someone, it doesn't work out, I deal with it quite badly. So yeah, I mean, there's a partial story about my love story. And I feel like it's definitely been something that I've had to work on a hell of a lot. And it's been years and years and years of also taking myself out of that deep place and then meeting other guys who were all the same guy and like fighting those tests that kept coming my way, where it was the same emotionally unavailable guy who never really made me feel that secure, but also working on the fact that it was my own issues too. So there's quite a lot to my story.
Honestly, so much of it from the way you started dating just mirrors, like in terms of what you describe, in terms of the behavior, just mirrors my own experience. And I know for so many other people, whether it even insecurity, like you were talking about being anxiously attached, even if you're someone who avoids love, it's still coming from that same place. And the things that really stood out for me right at the beginning when you said, just not taking on like your childhood, you know, whether that's because you didn't feel like you had a right to feel what you felt, or because for me, it was always that actually I was like the strong one, you know, I went off to uni, I did study, I did all of these things, so I must be fine. And we just move through that original heartbreak as if we're okay. And until we take that space to even just acknowledge it, you know, you don't have to go and dig really deep into it if that's not something you feel ready to do. But I think just to acknowledge that you have a story through no fault of your own and experiences. And the other thing that you said that I think is really worth touching on, you were talking about you stayed with your partner because he was the only person that could make you okay. Mm-hmm. And I just relate to that so much. There have been moments where I'm so anxious in that moment and I know what's right for me. And this is one of the really key components of anxious attachment, is that person being close to you is the only thing in that moment that you believe that can make you okay and feel physically empty.
It's the hardest thing because you have this feeling of like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this to myself? Mm-hmm. You know, no matter how aware you are as a person, you still know, like, I shouldn't be wanting to see him. Mm-hmm. But with all of them, at every point where they ever hurt me, I mean, I've probably still clouded it. It was so much deeper and darker. Like, I remember the boyfriend before him. I remember when I spent 6 months being like, I know you're going out with her. And he'd be like, no, I'm not. She worked with him. And I remember being like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I was an absolute psychopath. And I like parked my car and went to his workplace where I realized I dropped him off early and he was having dinner with her and he got up and kissed her. And I had to like walk in and see that. That was what I was dealing with. And I remember once just calling her being like, look, like, what is going on here? Like, he's my boyfriend. I've been with him for 3 years. I think I deserve to know. And she was like, he told me you weren't together anymore. And I was like on the phone to her, put the phone down to her and was outside his house. And I heard him call her being like, you promise you weren't going to tell me? Like, there were so many deep moments that I had to like pull myself out of and like find myself in, where I'm listening to two people who have been in a relationship for a year whilst also being with me, whilst I'm questioning, why are you still with me then? Like, why not just break up with me? And like at that moment, the only person I wanted was him. Like, I was still so desperate for him to turn around and say, I love you, I want to be with you. It's like, it's fight to get them to tell me that they loved me. And I'll never forget when I found out about my like most, I say most recent ex, the ex that was like the one I always thought I was going to like marry. Like when I found out about him cheating on me the first time, I almost wasn't even annoyed at him, because I actually just defined that as the norm. I just was like, guys cheat, whatever. It was when I found out about a girl that he'd slept with and we had been on like a break, and I found out about it a year later. He'd obviously done it, we'd broken up, and then he obviously felt a lot better. We got back together, moved in with each other, and our relationship really changed for the better. I feel like he just grew up. And then I found out a year later. And I remember being at that point, like, well, I can't break up with him because it happened a year ago. And we're so, and I just remember being like chucking him out of the house, and within half an hour being like, can you come back? Mm. And it's just, it's so sad when you're in that space and you feel awful for wanting them, but they are the only person that you want in that moment. Mm-hmm. Because you believe that they complete you.
Yeah. And what we have to touch on is you referring to the psychopath, right? That yeah. is how we feel. Not only are we told it, you know, I always say like one of my missions is to help us not feel too needy, not feel crazy. And I guess what I mean is to not be told it. But when we're in that moment, it does feel crazy in love. And you do know, but when you're that attachment style or system is activated and you're triggered, I always say for people to call you crazy or needy, they just must not have felt it. Yeah. It's something out of this world. Like my face goes tingly. It's like an out of body experience. Yeah. And it takes over.
Yeah.
I can manage that now, like way more than I ever could. But only a few months ago, I had a, you know, I've told you all about it, a triggering experience.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, I behaved in a way that I'm not proud of.
Do you know what, although I think it's what I've really learned in all the work that I've done, is we are so afraid of being too much in relationships. And the problem is we don't believe we're enough. So it shows up in a way where we're afraid of being too much, too needy, too this. And I've really worked a lot around that at the moment to just own it. And I think it's inevitable that like, you're always going to get thrown. I think no matter how much work you've done on yourself, if there's trauma, there's triggers, there's wounds, and you've been through stuff, you're always going to get thrown off and mm-hmm. have a crazy moment. And I think what I've really learned is to forgive myself in those moments. Yes. And know that it's me. And I've started to communicate that with guys and be like, look, from time to time, you know, it's not about not doing the work. I've done the work. I'm so different with it now. And if I do have those like irrational moments where I lose myself, I quite often I've learned now to go away and emotionally regulate myself before I deal with it, instead of acting in a rash behavior. But sometimes I don't, you know, it's still a massive Achilles heel for me. But I think one of the biggest thing that's been for me is been able to own it to a guy and be like, look, listen, from time to time I might have this deep-rooted fear that you're just gonna go because my daddy died and I don't know how else to deal with it, so like just if I am like that, just give me a kiss and tell me that you're here, like you're not going anywhere. I've dated people recently who have never made me feel stupid. I say something and then they've come back with something like, totally understand, I'm so sorry you feel that way. And I'm almost like taken aback that there are humans out there who don't gaslight you or make you feel crazy. It's out there, the right guy. They might have other red flags elsewhere, but actually to have someone listen to you and understand when you say, look, like I like have to run away when things get really tough because that's how I cope, have them say like I understand, has made me more confident to kind of almost own my traumas and just be like, well, that's me, like I've been hurt in the past, I'm not carrying it into my future, but it is a big part of me and I'm not going to try and be this cool girl that is just really chilled and laid back. I'm just not that person. That's been something I think this last year and a half for me that has been game changing. It's just be like, it's me and I'm not going to pretend I'm not that person.
No, and we're not making excuses, not saying, oh, I'm going to act like this because of that. We're saying we've got this stuff. The person we're talking about, they've got stuff as well. And I'm mm-hmm. willing to hold that space for them. Yeah. And they need to be willing to hold that space for us. And this is actually one of my most recent learnings, is I'm not going to get it right every time. That one that I'm talking about just there with you. I'm not going to get it right every time because I've got stuff and I get triggered. And it's okay for someone else to be able to hold that space. And if they can't hold that space, how is that really going to work? Like, how are you even holding space for your own stuff?
I think what happens these days with people is they're a lot more about how can I make that person happy? How can I make that person love me? Rather than what do I need? What do I want? So yes, the girl next door might not need someone to hold space for them. But if you do, that is something that I've learned is like, I might need a little bit more space. I might need someone to have to sit there and like have a conversation with me. And unfortunately, if that means that someone isn't into that, then they're not my guy. And they might be the next person's guy because that person doesn't need that from him. But I think understanding how we love and what we define as love is so important, and mine has changed so much to what I thought it was.
That's my question. Yeah, well, I mean, because you've sort of touched on it already, what does love mean to you?
Oh my god, honestly, I would say in the last year I had an aha moment, and I read a book, and I'll tell you the book, but like I didn't understand it when I read it. And I think this year I really understood it. For me, I always believed that I'm a sucker for a rom-com, right? Sucker for a fairy tale ending in a rom-com. And I think sadly, it doesn't fucking happen like the movies. Sorry, excuse my French. But like, I think I've really realized this year that these movies set you up to fail because women are being taught, like, I'm waiting for my fairy tale ending. I'm waiting for the guy to come on his horse and save me from the top of my house. And I actually don't believe that love is that anymore. And I'm not saying that all or like, don't be treated amazingly. Like, so I think it's just take love off the pedestal a little bit. For me, love was sparks, fireworks, fairy tales, being swept off my feet. It was something I couldn't live without. It was like this intense, I just know I'm meant to be with him, this like anxious feeling where I'm like, I just love him so much that I could strangle him. Like, for me, that was what love was for years and years and years and years. And then even when I broke up with my like last boyfriend, and then I spent 2 years depressed, 2 years literally going out and sleeping with everyone and anyone because I was so numb, and I was just like, I needed validation. Then I went celibate for like a year and a half, and then I started working on myself. And it was when I started working on myself that I was like, have I been getting love all wrong? And me and my ex are friends now, we talk all the time, and he's like, you know, I've never found anyone that felt like how I felt with you. And I said, you know what, I think that's part of our problem, is the way I felt when I instantly saw him across the road is actually like not really, maybe the knowing, because I did know he was going to be with me, but I was like, that emotional roller coaster we had is not love. And when we're waiting for someone else to make us feel that way, nobody's ever been you either, but I'm not sure that's what we need in our lives. And over the last year, I've just realized that love for me now, and I'm sure it means different to everyone else, it means feeling at home. It's easy. It's like you could live without it, but you don't want to, you wouldn't choose to, but you absolutely would know that you're okay if it's not there. And I read A Course in Miracles, is like an incredible book, and I read like a shorter version of it. It's like A Course in Miracles Made Easy. Yeah, there we go, you've got it. But I've got this one, which is A Course in Miracles Made Easy. And
I brought that out of my room today. How weird is that?
So how weird is that?
That's so funny.
That is so strange. And there's a chapter in it called Specialness, Special Love, and it literally like dug in my heart when I read it. And it was basically explaining that a lot of people think that like this thing called special love is that like people think that love is like this thing you can't live without. It sparks, it's fireworks, but it's actually really linked very closely to hate. And so it can really, it's the same thing, and it can very quickly turn into hate. And it's like this, you're getting something of someone, they are completing you, they are making you feel loved, they are making you feel enough. And then it talks about holy love, which is just literally like this calm and like at home feeling and this peaceful feeling. And I think that's something that I've really, really realized about love, is that it's just this feeling of like, I feel at home when I'm with you, and I don't feel intense, and it doesn't feel like fireworks, and you haven't come and saved me. And I think that that is the difference. I was always waiting for someone to save me and take me out of my dark place and make me feel sexy and loved and beautiful. And quite honestly, like the biggest realization I've ever had is it's just really not a man's job to do that. It is not his job to make you feel special and loved and whole and complete. And I do speak to a lot of women in our community, and I think that that is a huge problem. I say problem loosely, like that's a big thing that a lot of women are struggling with. It's like they're waiting for these men to save them. And yes, you might look around and see many, many women in relationships, and it looks like when you're single that everyone's fine and they're happy. But a lot of those relationships also are built out of this special love or out of the safety net, or they won't break up with someone because they have absolutely no idea how to be alone. So I think learning that lesson about love for me also is one of the biggest things that I'm so grateful for, because it's also made me fall in love with being single too. Completely change what I will and won't tolerate from a guy and in a relationship, for sure.
The difference seems to be, I find, because I totally agree around being single, that sometimes people say, but I've been single for so many years and now I'm kind of past that. What do you say to that?
What, past what?
Past being able to enjoy being single. I'm ready for a relationship now. It's been years. Like, where am I?
Do you know what? I think it's really difficult because I definitely have moments where I still go into that space and I'm like, I've been single and I haven't actually been single. Like, you know, I was in a relationship about a year and a bit ago. It was like 6 months. And, you know, thing with me is men stick around. A lot of my exes still like sit in my energy. And it's, you know, my job to kind of like boot them out. But I have moments too where I'm like, when is this going to happen for me? Why is it not happening for me? But I think I've just had to really, I look at my life now and I'm like, the things that I have done the last few years, like the way I've found myself, then the business that I've built, the home that I live in, the life that I lead, I couldn't have done any of those. I could have done those things with a relationship, but I wouldn't be where I am if I wasn't single. And so I now almost have this just deep trust that when it happens for me, I'll look back and I'll go, oh my God, it couldn't have been a moment sooner. And I just think that that is all we have to sit into as women. And I know it's not easy. And there'll be moments where I'm like, well, I'm done trusting. And like, I've tried everything and I've done all the manifestation. And, you know, I've said every morning that I believe it. And like, there's been a lot of belief work for me. You know, I have to kind of almost every morning remind myself and affirm to myself, men want to be around me. Like, that guy that I'm waiting for is coming. He wants me too. And like, you know, there's so many affirmations I say around it because for me, it's such a deep rooted wound. It stems from before I was even born. So I think that whole abandonment is why I was waiting for someone to come and save me, because I was essentially waiting for my dad to come and save me. And one thing when I was doing a lot of my work around my relationships, I kind of wrote down how they all started, how they all finished. And I wrote down who the guy was. A friend of mine made me do it. And she was like, write down like their personalities, their traits, their good things, their bad things. And they were all the same guy. And they all started and ended the same way. And I was seeking the same thing out of all of them. And it was when I had that moment that I realized, I was like, I expected all of my boyfriends to behave like my dad, like give me security, make me feel safe, tell me where to go and what to do. And it's also not a guy's job to do that. So I think, yeah, for anyone who's literally like, but I've been single forever and I've been doing all the right things, I think the fact that they're saying that still means that there's belief work to be done.
Agreed.
And we fall back into that inner child where we're like, but I've done it all. And it's like, well, actually, then if you're still even thinking that, then there's still beliefs that need to be changed. So yeah, I definitely think it's about coming into trust. And just every time I've forgotten about something or stayed away from something is when it's happened. I remember coming home from my trip in Thailand and I had this like profound spiritual experience. And I was in the car and I was like, I actually don't need anyone. I actually am whole and complete in myself. Like, I really don't, I'm very content. I don't need a boyfriend. And I'd spent years being like, when's it gonna happen? And 2 weeks later, I was in a relationship. And I was like, whoa, universe, like you work quick when someone all of a sudden doesn't, when you come out of needing, wanting, being desperate for something, it's almost exactly when it always happens, isn't it? Because you're not focusing on the lack in your life.
It's true. And so, you know, one of the things that you've touched on is the amazing life that you've built for yourself. However, love, as you've said, thing is, it's so powerful and it's so amazing when it's good. And I never want to take that away because I don't want to lose the fun, pleasurable side of love in these conversations, because it can be really joyful, but we also know it can be really, really painful, like we've just described. So when you're building your life and love throws you off, how do you navigate? How do you still show up even though love has thrown you off?
I think for me, I still think that like it has thrown me off on many occasions. I think there's a couple of things here. I think the awareness maybe that I've built up around the fact that quite often when things are going well in my life, because love, like I now love. I like walk down the street and I look at people and I'm like, I love that. Whereas I used to be really bitter. And a lot of the work I also had to do was I now love men. I actually adore men and I feel quite sorry for a lot of them in some respects because they don't have as much support as we do. So I had to change my beliefs around that. But I think for me, like, I just really believe, and this is the whole teaching of all of my work in everything I do, that when things are going well, because of our resistance to lighting up, to feeling good, and how most of us feel comfortable, unhappy, the victim, sad, like that's the role we all know how to play. So for me, I think what I realize is every woman I've ever worked with, when things are going well in their life, something somewhere messes up. And we all have different Achilles heels or different cards that we pull. So for some women, it's their health. So they'll sabotage their work like themselves by binging and restricting. And for many, many years, that was my Achilles heel. Things would go well. And then I'd like run to the cupboards. And like, I think the awareness of that behavior being at play always helps me. So if I know that things are going well over here, I will always pick a scab and go back to a guy that's hurt me, or like indulge in a conversation or attach a story to something that hurt me before. Just even being aware enough of myself that that is my sabotage almost instantly brings me back. And I'm like, inner child, inner critic, ego, whatever you want to call it, you don't get to win. Like, we're not playing this game. Like, I love you, I adore you, I understand you're keeping me safe, but I'm committed to shining. So I think for me, the affirmation of like, I'm committed to feeling good, it feels good to feel good, I'm worthy and deserving of feeling good, was like one of my biggest game changers, because it always helps me choose again when I'm having one of those moments where I'm thrown off. Just that instant awareness of like, hang on a minute, you're self-sabotaging, always brings me back to like the love rather than the fear. I also think that like a lot of it has been around now my worth. I think the higher version of me is getting stronger, and she's getting a little bit louder than the inner critic. And there's been plenty of times where I get thrown off, and then this like version of me that I've worked so hard on building and finding and nourishing and loving from within kind of goes, no honey, like you deserve more than this, you're better than this. Or I'll do a podcast episode and it will just remind me, or I'll do a Q&A and I'll be telling another woman to like not accept the breadcrumbs when you want the bread. Yeah. And then it always reminds me. So I think, yeah, when I get thrown off, I think the real key thing for many, many women is awareness is key first. So like really owning that that's what they're doing, they're sabotaging themselves, and choosing again. And then I think I welcome distractions from my work. Work has been such a big part of my life. So I think for me is I have to just go into practice. Like that's when, if something really throws me off, I kind of like don't fight the feelings. I let myself feel them. I journal a lot as to like, why has this triggered me? What am I feeling here? And for me, I've really learned to try and not react in that moment, because I react and my mindset 2 days later is completely different on something. So I think the biggest thing for me is the awareness when I get thrown off, and also taking the responsibility. I think for a long time, a lot of my pain was I wasn't taking responsibility for my own behavior. And if something throws me off now, instead of always leading straight to blame for them, I kind of go like, what is this teaching me here? What do I need to do here? What part have I had to play here? Like, have I overreacted? It's like taking check, isn't it? It's like taking a moment out, giving yourself the space and the time that you need to nourish yourself from back within, and then owning that part of me, I think, as I kind of said before, like being proud that that's just who I am. And like, one thing for me is I always really notice change in behavior. So if someone's really different, I notice it. And I know that's a massive anxiously attached behavioral trait, but it's one of the one things I think I'm still mastering. And like, it is the biggest trigger for me is like, if I witness that someone's been a bit off with me for a couple of days, I instantly believe it's because they don't love me anymore. I think I've had to do a lot of work around, just because they've changed does not mean that they don't love you. And just because they haven't told you that they don't love, that they love you in 4 days, doesn't mean that they don't love you. Everybody, it does it in a different way. And I think sometimes just by doing that, and instead of blaming them and looking at my own responsibility and having lower expectations of people, not like standards, but expectations, I think really, really helps me kind of come back into the space of like, you aren't meant to need or want anything off anyone. No one is meant to make you feel a certain way. It's nobody's job to do that. Like, if you are with someone and they don't serve you and they don't make you happy, then yeah, obviously get out. But like, I think we put a lot of expectations on people.
Just hearing you talk about that, I just really hope that people who are in that situation where they're feeling thrown off and, you know, on the floor, that it just gives that strength to get back up. And I guess one of the things as well that crosses my mind is this space that you've created for yourself to help others, you know, shine their light, to help others step into that. And I actually think, I always talk about it in terms of follow your fire. One of the things for me when I decided to take responsibility, and I think just whilst I'm on that, responsibility, not blaming ourselves, is quite a big difference. But when I decided, okay, you know, I'm playing a part in this pattern, how am I going to break out of this? Deciding to do something bigger and create something for myself that I can turn to, not in like to fill another void, but you know, when I'm like, I've got a business to show up for, dreams that I'm actually following that I'm excited about. So it's not just creating something to cover up, you know, a void with love. It's actually creating something that I'm really, really passionate about. And I can't help but think having that when, you know, when love does throw you off really helps.
Yeah, I mean, that's like one of the most amazing things you can say. And I think that that is the heart and soul of my business, is helping women find their purpose. And I think that, you know, a massive part of my growth in relationships and love and is that I focus so much energy and love and passion and purpose into my work. And actually, like, really recently, I had like one of the biggest launches of my life whilst I was also going through like a bit of a tough time with a guy. And actually, they were both beautifully paired, because where I would normally maybe perhaps spiral with the situation with him, I was like, no, I'm putting all of this energy, all of this love. And it wasn't avoidant. I still felt the feelings, but I went, this energy is all going into filming this over here and like selling this and doing this. But at the same time, and the distraction of him was a welcome distraction, so that I didn't get fixated on my work and wasn't like, what are the numbers? How have we done? You know, I basically kind of went with both of them with purpose and passion. And I kind of stepped back and went, wow, that's been a big month for me, but it actually had to happen. And I think, yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. Since having a job that makes me feel so alive every single day, it's like, it's also changed my desire. It's almost changed what I need from someone as well, because I realize you can really have it all from yourself. So yeah, I think a lot of the time is because I spent all my energy, thoughts, behaviors, feelings around men, breakup, this, that, pain, struggles, what I didn't had, what I'd been through, instead of focusing on all the incredible things that I could do in my life. And that was one of the biggest changes for me, is I kind of was like, I am going to spend 2 years navigating a self-loving, self-acceptant, self-compassionate version of me, because of all of those heartbreaks, I was a shell of myself. I hated myself. I had no confidence. I thought the world was against me. I didn't trust that anything was working out for me. I was so low vibe, and therefore nothing that I wanted. You know, a lot of my work is around helping women manifest what they want. And in order to do that, we need to be in that feeling of joy, gratitude, love, compassion and peace. And I had none of that in my life. So I think when I stopped focusing on trying to get all of that from men and started to focus on how can I bring this into my life in many, many other ways, everything changed. And so this like desire and neediness around a man, when it wasn't like I was waiting for him to make me feel all of those things, it was more around how can I just bring this into my life more. And I grew as a woman by doing that. And I think there's so many small things that we don't take into consideration when it comes to relationships. Like every time you say no to something that doesn't serve you, you level up. And you tell your higher self that you're here for her. And every time you communicate how you feel, you know, one of my most recent dating situations, I've never grown more in my life. I communicated at every level, like what I needed from him, how I felt, why I was doing things. And I was like, wow, who even is this woman from 6 months ago? And whilst it didn't necessarily work out for me, like there was such a beautiful lesson in it. It was like to communicate my needs. And that had all come from the work that I'd done on myself, and getting really clear about what it is that I want. I think so many women who are sad in love or going through turmoil in relationships, is a lot of it is I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't even know what I liked. I didn't care about me. I just cared about making them happy. And that reflects in our friendships, you know, people pleasers in friendships, people pleasers at work. It's not just relationships with men, it's relationships with other people because of the relationship we have with ourselves.
And it is about knowing our needs. So we've got to know what our needs are and to be able to express them. I remember the first time, I always talk about this, this is the first person I ever didn't chase when they ended it. But I remember we went to this bar and it was awful. The music was awful. It was really, really loud. I don't want to sound like an old woman, but it was so loud. I just didn't like it. It just wasn't my style. And I know it sounds really simple, but I told him. And before, this is like a couple of years ago, I would have been like, oh God, oh, does he not like me now? Because I told him he didn't. What if he thinks I don't like that music that he likes and didn't like his choice? I would have gone over that. And it just, it's those tiny little moments where you grow and you've got to celebrate them, because ultimately I was still with someone where there was lots of things wrong, but that was still a moment of growth, you know, and I'm going to take it. The idea of that was really coming for me then when you were speaking is just that love is important and we all want connection and we want a healthy, happy relationship, but there is more to life than this person that you're fixated on. You know, there's 100%. More for you than that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what you said there about you were happy to tell him, I think this comes from our fear of people not wanting us and not liking us. But when you like yourself enough and you know what you need, you become, you know, it's not like, oh, I don't care if anyone, there's a very difference to someone that's like, don't give a shit what you think about me, to someone who's literally like, this is what I need. And he said, one of the biggest things, like when I do my Sunday Q&As, the questions are always like, but if I do this, he might think this and he might think that. And is it weird of me if, you know, am I being crazy by not carrying on with it or whatever the question might be? And I'm like, there's no right or wrong here. It's what do you want and what do you need? And when you can communicate that to someone and not worry, and if they're not into it, then great, glad that you've like not hidden yourself and not pretended to like something. You know, my ex that I was with before, recent one, he was quite toxic and manipulative, and like he would say things like, oh, you're going to Ocean Beach with your friends and like in Dubai, like make me feel stupid for it. I remember being like, no, I'm so not that girl. And I was like, I actually am, like, I'm not saying I would like the definition of that girl, but I also am quite that girl. Like I don't care where I go with my friends as long as I'm having a fun time. Yeah. And I was just like, dude, I'll go wherever I want. And again, like you said, it was such a powerful thing for me to be like, this is what I do.
Yeah.
A big thing for me now is like my spiritualism. Like, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm particularly hugely spiritual, but I have rituals, you know, I journal, I meditate. I believe in bigger things than all of us. And I don't expect a guy that I'm dating to have those same beliefs, but I certainly am not going to like not do mine because of him. And same, my ex very much like, I mean, crystals, no, it's like, oh, it's probably the moon. And I'm like, oh my God, like if you can't get on board with this, then we have a problem. Mm-hmm. And I think the best thing you can do for yourself is get to know what you want, what you need. And that was when everything changed for me, when I was like, listen, if that doesn't work for you, I respect that. And I remember having this conversation with someone really recently, and I was like, look, this is what I need from you, or I want from you to be able to do this. If you can't do that, I totally understand. I totally appreciate that, but this is where I'm at. And it was like one of the most powerful things I'd done in a relationship. Even just, you know, I'm very open now that I want kids soon. Like I do. And of course, like on a first date, I don't think I'd say to someone like, I want children immediately, because I can understand, not the fear of being too needy for them, but I also can understand that it's quite intense from a,
absolutely,
like, a first conversation. But if someone says to me, what do you want and what are you looking for? I'm not afraid to say, look, listen, like I'm down for whatever the universe sends my way. Like I really believe like lessons are lessons, and not like nothing's off the cards for me. So like, yeah, fun is fun if it's respectful fun. But at the same time, if I'm really honest with you, yes, in the next 2 to 3 years, I would really like to have children. That is, and if that is a no-go for them, instead of worrying about whether I'm enough for them, I'm like, cool, well, at least I didn't waste 2 years with him and then not have a child at the end
of it. That's the thing, yeah. We get so stuck on now and even the past and trying to fix the past. We forget our amazing future that we could have if we were honest about who we are. But speaking of lessons in love, so you get to go back to any age. You can't say that you wouldn't change a thing or there's no regrets.
The classic answer.
Yeah. Okay. What lesson would you teach yourself about love?
Christ, there are so many that I want to say here, but I think the one I'm most passionate about saying, I think, is like, if I could look at my 21-year-old self in the eyes and say to her, like, I'm going to get emotional, and say to her, like, you have to love yourself from within first, I would, because for me, that was just the biggest thing. I was like waiting for everyone else to love me. And this is like not just men either. It was just everyone. I was waiting for everyone else to tell me that I was beautiful. I was waiting for everyone else to make me feel special, to feel loved, to feel whole and to feel complete. And I wasn't doing the work on myself. So I think the biggest lesson I have learned is, if I could go back and say that to myself, yes, trust probably, but also just love yourself. Go within first. You need to become whole and complete for yourself. You need to see that you're enough. Like when I had that spiritual like session and I was in Thailand and I'd faced like a near-death experience, which is like my biggest fear, I had this Reiki, I mean, he was like the most amazing human being. He was like shaking, he was so spiritual, and he said to me, like, what are you doing this for? And I was reading the book Getting the Love You Want at the time, and a friend had given it to me, and I was in a really desperate time with men. I was very much in the lack mentality, where I was like, it's not happening for me, I'm so unlucky in love, why can't it happen for me? And I was like really depressed with how many years it had been since I'd had a relationship, that I didn't feel it was fair, that I had so much love to give. You know, I was very much in the victim mentality around it because I was fed up. And I'd been told to read Getting the Love You Want, which was explaining to us about like how we love, why we love, what our parents, what we're waiting for, and all of that sort of stuff. Walked into the session with him and he said to me, listen, why do you work the way that you work? And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, why do you work so hard? Business is my thing now, but the way I run my business is so different now to then. And I said, I don't really know. He's like, yeah, you do. And I was like, I don't. He was like, you do. And he was like, ask yourself. And I shut my eyes and I just said approval. And he said approval. He was like, you're waiting for everyone to approve of yourself. The only person's approval that you need is your own. And in that moment, like my whole world came to me because I realized that when I used to struggle with like my body image and food and exercise, and I thought I'd healed that. I did so much work around loving myself and not being more than my body, and the whole body empowerment thing. I was still focusing on the body, wasn't focusing on myself. I was focusing on the relationship with my body. And I realized I hadn't grown or healed. I'd just moved it to my work. The same rooted problem of getting approval, whether it was looking amazing or being the most successful. And then in that moment, I realized this is what I do in love, is I just wait for every single guy to love me. And I'm desperate for them to tell me that they love me. And ultimately, like, you don't need someone to tell you that they like you. Like, it's not needed. It's not required if they're showing you that they do. So yeah, I think I would just go back to that younger version of myself who just absolutely hated herself and gave herself away to everyone. I would just say, like, it doesn't come from out there. And that is where Get Lit came from. I'm like, you've got to find your light switch from within. It came to me. I was in a retreat in Thailand. In a meditation, the words Get Lit, light up, came to me. And I just knew what it meant. And that was it. It has to come from within. We, you know, at the time, not even just in love, but like, I was buying nice clothes, buying nice cars, expensive handbags, like everything defined me to be this person. And it was really only when I really started to love myself more that other people started to love me too. And it's funny because back then I looked like I worked out 100 days a week to make sure I looked that way, but on the outside I looked really happy and I was in great shape, and I thought I was all of those things that were going to make people love me. And no guys ever gave me attention. Even women weren't particularly like wanting to be around me. They thought I was cold, and I basically had piss off on my forehead. And since working on myself, I get way more compliments now, like about me and about what I look like and about who I am as a person. And I'm not seeking it at all. So yeah, that's a long-winded answer, but
no, I think it's so powerful.
It's got to come from within first, because when we attach it to others, you give them the power to take it away from you. And that's what I was doing. I was giving everyone the power that in a heartbeat, if they told me they didn't love me or they didn't want me or I wasn't fit or there was another girl, off went all my power, off went everything that I ever defined about myself with them. And so when you don't have that attachment anymore, I definitely go into relationships now so much more confident, because I'm like, if you decide that you want to cheat on me with someone, it's not actually a reflection of me being enough. It's a reflection of you and your issues. And you could still even love me. It doesn't mean you don't love me that you've done that. It's just your values. And I think before it was like, when people did those things to me, I was like, oh my God, I'm not enough. I wasn't good enough for you. Why wasn't I? What did I do wrong? Whereas now I'm like, you know, it hurts, but it's not the same hysterical, rooted years and years and years of pain feeling.
I know that's so useful, because lots of the feedback that I'll get around getting into like a new relationship is, oh, but what if they cheat? And it's that inner knowing, right, that you'll be okay, and more for them. What were the action steps? So you do the work on yourself, you figure out, okay, no more just seeking validation. How did you put that into action?
Do you know what? I actually think I forgot about this, but I did a lot of work. Like, I did a lot of like standing naked in front of the mirror, telling myself I was cute. Yeah, I think I forgot that I did all of this stuff, and I don't really associate that with the growth, but I think it was a lot of it. I went to town on, like, I wrote letters to all of my ex-boyfriends and then forgave them. I've done meditations where I've forgiven them. I've told some of them that I've forgiven them. Others, I didn't. I felt like it was enough for me to forgive them, but they didn't actually deserve me to tell them I'd forgiven them. I stood in front of the mirror like naked, and like, because a big thing for me was what I looked like. So I would tell myself I loved myself. I committed to affirmations every day that were like, I am beautiful. And, you know, I remember someone said to me once, she was a really good friend of mine, very spiritual. And she was like, what's up? And I was like, do you know what? I just always get the like, oh, she's got a good bod, she's sexy. And nobody ever says I'm pretty or beautiful, and it sucks. And she was like, well, do you ever say that to yourself? And I was like, no. And the moment I started saying that to myself, people would all of a sudden use those words, like friends even would use those words on my photos. Really powerful. For like 6 months, I actually wore a wedding ring on my finger as well, on my left hand, because I wanted to like get into that energy. I have written down how every relationship starts. That was a big thing for me, writing down the relationships. And that's the thing, like, this is where people give up, is they think, oh, I've woken up this week and said an affirmation every day. My husband still hasn't come, or I don't love myself anymore. And I hate saying it, because like, people want quick fixes. But it wasn't a quick fix. This has been, I came back from Australia with 3 Christmases just coming up to this Christmas, and I thought I was happy, and I went to Australia, took myself out of my environment, and realized I really hadn't healed anything. My routine had gone out the window. I hated myself, felt fat, I felt disgusting, I felt gross, disaster. I despised myself. I found the most incredible book that changed my life. There's a spiritual solution to every problem. And I came home and I said to myself, right, I'm going to do an experiment. If I want to be a coach to help women, and this is one of the biggest things I say to all my clients, is you've got to become your first client. You've got to practice what you preach. And so yeah, I've said it to you like 100 times, right? So I came home and I was like, right, I'm going to do an experiment just for the sake of seeing if this works. And for a year, I literally showed up for myself. And I mean, like, journaling every day how much I loved myself, visualizing seeing myself with a partner, seeing myself feel free and loving in my body, telling myself every day that was amazing. I even would text myself, like, this is something I think a lot of people don't talk about, but like, and I still do it now sometimes. I remember that holiday that I came back from in Thailand, which was probably the most life-changing week of my life. I came back, I said in the taxi on the way back, like, I don't need anyone. And then a week later, this guy I'd been kind of texting, but never really thought anything of it. Like, all of a sudden, we just found ourselves together. And within 6 weeks, we're boyfriend and girlfriend. But that same holiday, like, I just realized so much about love. And I remember in the taxi, I text myself saying, can't wait to see you, babe, when you get home. And someone had said, a coach had said to me, do it, just trust me, do it. It was all of those things that I think a lot of people don't talk about. They talk about affirmations, they talk about journaling, but I had to show up for myself for a year and stop dating assholes. I remember going on a date once with a guy, complete womanizer, really well-known rugby player. And me and him always had an amazing connection, but there was something about him. And I remember going on a date with him. And as I left my house, I said to myself, what he thinks about me is no reflection of my worth. I am enough regardless of what happens on this date. My whole energy on the date was completely different. And that's the difference. It wasn't really about him. It was like, I just went into this different state. So there are so many actionable things that I have taken and steps that I have done. And if you really want the transformation, you've got to do the work and you've got to keep showing up for yourself and, you know, keep passing those tests when they come your way. And I think it's taken me 2 years to really actually take those affirmations and rewire them so that they actually are my beliefs now. I think there's still a deep-rooted belief somewhere within me and I'm really still working on that it won't happen for me. So like the last bit of work that I'm still working on. I do believe now that the right guy will come. And I'm just so trusting in the universe. I'm also very much like, okay, for me, if I'm meant to be on this planet to help people and not get married, then I have to trust that that's the plan for me. The only thing for me that I also am like, is like, you can take matters into your own hands. So I've kind of had conversations with the universe where I've been like, look, listen, this time next year, like you do your thing, I trust you. But this time next year, if I'm not in a relationship with anyone, I will go into my own measures to have a child because that is something I'm not prepared to like not have in life. No way. And it's, I don't believe it will come to that. You know, I believe whatever is meant to be will be. And even if I was to like get a sperm donor, for example, and then in a year's time meet someone and have a child, like I believe it will happen for me and I don't need to interfere with the universe. But it is also something that I'm really like passionate about. So I have those conversations. And just in the last 2 weeks alone, like there's been moments where I've gone like, universe, please help me. And I've asked for help. And within seconds, I've had a sign or I've been guided to something or I've got the answer. And it's like, wow, you work quick when you are open to the world helping you in that way. It works bloody quick. And this is the biggest thing I see amongst so many women. And this is the same thing for me. We say we want a relationship that is happiness, joyful, loving and committal. But are you doing the things that are matching up to that? My friend once called me out. She said, you say you want a committed relationship, but you absolutely are petrified of commitment. Do you ghost men? And I was like, yeah. She was like, cool. So then I realized that when I was dating guys that I wasn't that into, I was ghosting them. So I was doing all of the things that I was hating other men for. And so I had to really own the fact that like I'm dating these commitment phobes, but actually I'm a complete commitment phobe. So really also getting clear about what are you mirroring and what you're attracting was a big thing for me. So yeah, there was tons of things.
So incredible. Like so many actionable steps that I just think, if you actually take the time out to do them, this is the thing that people don't want to do, or they feel awkward doing it, or how is that going to work? You really feel the results when you do it. And for me, I'm really similar in terms of the trust. That is my life changed when I kind of made those decisions as well of like, you know what, I'm not going to find a man just because of a fear around marriage and timelines and things like that. And that really, really changed things for me. One of the things that I think stands out the most for the whole conversation, I think, is just in terms of how honest you've been about, yeah, I still have these beliefs. Yeah, that still comes up for me. And I just think that's so useful to know because we don't have to be this strong, independent woman who's a robot. you know.
There have been so many times in the last year where I have literally been on the floor crying my eyes out because I've been triggered or because I've got fed up and been like, when is this going to happen for me? And I think even in this last year, I had like so many moments where I was like, do you know what? There are friends that I have that are in relationships with children. You know, they don't have the career that I have and they long for it. They also don't know who they are, right? Each to their own. But I had this moment where I was like, I know deeply that it's going to happen for me. When I finally meet him, do I want to look back and go, I spent 3 years stressing about it, moaning about it, crying about it, not living my life because I was so desperate wanting something? Or am I going to live my life? Mm-hmm. And that was where a lot changed for me, even just this last year, where I was like, I'm just going to enjoy this single life because one day I'll look back and be like, damn it, like really took for granted the fact that I could wake up every morning without getting my kids ready before myself, and I could just leisurely go to a gym class, and I could see my friends whenever I wanted because I didn't have anyone to answer to. Like, I know that that will happen. It happens with everything that we do in life. So yeah, I think it's really important as coaches, especially in my line of work, because so many people are indulging in the idea of becoming a coach in some manner, and then they stop themselves because they think, how am I capable of being a coach when I'm still going through stuff? And ultimately, like what I always say to them is, you're human, and that is what makes people relate to you more. And like, I'm human, and I will never ever stop telling women that, like, I don't know if I'll ever get over some of my wounds and some of my triggers. I really don't, but I'm proud of who I am, and I'm owning it, and I'm hiding it less, you know. Like, some of my friends absolutely haven't had any insecurities with men, but they also didn't come into a broken family or lose a partner or get cheated on 10 times. They saw their parents be in love for 50 years, you know, so they understand, of course they're not going to be insecure, they don't have that wound. So I think by understanding that not everyone's going to understand you or be in the same path as you has really, really helped me. And I just hope many, many women really start putting themselves first, their needs, their love, their compassion for themselves, and like really start to do the work from within. I think for me, it was stop waiting for someone to save me. And, you know, stop watching, like, Pretty Woman is my favorite film in the whole wide world. And honestly, like, it just sets you up for the fail. How many stories do you know about a prostitute that meets the guy and then he falls in love with her? And like, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that the dream's not there. I'm just saying, like, let's redefine what the dream looks like and like what love really means.
I completely agree with everything, especially like, what does love really mean? And especially if your early experiences or any experiences have painted a completely distorted view of that.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me. It's so nice to be able to have this conversation. And I think this podcast, I mean, the podcast in general, is going to be a huge hit because there are so many women who, A, have so much to share around this journey. And B, I know, like, one thing I've learned in the last year is how many women go through the same thing and don't talk about it, and often just cloud it as heartbreak, but don't actually speak about the nuts and bolts. So it's amazing the work that you're doing, and I'm very honoured to be here.
Thank you. Where can people find you?
So you can find me at Becky Rabin on Instagram, and then getlit.inc is our Instagram, and www.getlitinc.co.uk. But yeah, come and hang out, always slide into my DMs. Got a free Facebook group called the Girl Light Up Community, where it's just free personal development resources as well, from like manifesting to visualizing to meditating to just loving yourself more. We're really building up that community, so come and hang out with us. But thank you so much for having me, and yeah, if anyone has any questions, feel free to slide into my DMs. I might regret that.